The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
That's what I said. Book it. We'll do it live.
Shit. Kyle don't give a shit.
I don't give no shits, man. I don't give. Check. All right. I've been doing that for 10 minutes before I pressed record.
Check.
And only after I pressed record was I unsatisfied with the level.
Oh, yeah?
Now I'm, I'll be fine.
How's my level, Kyle?
You're top notch. You're right up there. That thing.
I've been working on my levels.
You got that thing, Shake it in your face.
Yeah, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm drinking a tall iced tea and I feel great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I napped because I came back from Tucson, Arizona. Wonderful town, Tucson, Arizona. And had a fun weekend. I was in Phoenix and Tucson playing with Pauly Casillas and Chris Thayer.
Yeah.
And I know I was bitching about Phoenix last week. And still a weird town. Town didn't get any less weird.
Oh, yeah.
But the people were there. Probably because I complained on this podcast.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it was. But people came out. But it's a weird town. Everybody dresses like they're going to the AVN Awards all the time.
Really? Like, I can imagine, okay, what a woman might dress like to get that label. What's a dude who's going to the AVN Awards look like?
Just like crisp collared shirts and stuff.
Okay. A lot of gel.
Flat brim hats. Okay. Flat brim hats.
Gotcha.
You know what? All right. Do you remember, like the college fuck fest porns where it was like they were on, like it was just people making pornography on college campuses?
I don't know.
Like porn stars would go. Am I revealing too much about myself?
Maybe.
Well, it always happened in Arizona.
Oh, really?
And then you'd go to Arizona. It was always like Phoenix, and like you understand why. Like, yep. These seems like people that don't think about the consequences of their actions. Yeah. But anyway, shout out to College Fuck Fest pornography from 15 years ago when I first viewed internet porn.
That's funny. Well, that's good, man. Good weekend. What's Tucson like? I've been through there, but I've never spent any time there.
Tucson's like the, as it was said, they say it's like the Austin of Arizona.
Oh,
I guess every state has to have an Austin.
Yeah.
Of their state.
Yeah.
And that would be Tucson. It's a little more dusty, a little more artsy.
Okay.
A little more hippie, a little more hipster. I like it.
That's cool.
A lot.
Yeah, I've only, all I know about Tucson is there are rest stops and pilot truck stops.
That's what you know about most places.
Yeah, that's true.
Dave's top 10 pilot truck stops. Have you ever witnessed, gross stuff at a truck stop? Like, it'd be like, oh, truck stop, that's where they're a bunch of sucking and fucking.
No, I see a lot of the lot lizards.
Yeah,
you always see the hookers wandering around.
Really?
Because the way most truck stops are set up is the trucks, you know, that crash overnight, they have their own parking lot in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of far away from the actual gas station.
Yeah.
And and then I will park just in the normal parking lot. And, just spend the night in the van. But a lot of times I'll get out and, you know, if I've been driving 12 hours, I don't just park it and go to sleep.
Yeah,
I'll get
out.
I walk it off a little bit, get some fresh air, and I'll do like these big laps around the whole property. And you always see just these rough looking women, like just haggard. Just kind of loitering around. You're like, oh, yeah, there's a lot lizard.
That was the old rumor when you could get the it was a very 90s reference. Remember, there'd be like the glitter stickers you'd get on the quarter machines?
Yeah,
and if one was a cat, and if you put that in your window, that means you were looking for lot lizards.
Like, I
remember
that.
The heads up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, truck stops are interesting, man. I told you about the time I spent 4 straight days at a truck stop in Memphis.
Oh, I think you did.
Yeah,
say
in
that.
Between gigs. I didn't have much money. I couldn't get a hotel. Couldn't even, like, go do anything. I think I had, like, had to make $17 last 4 days until my next gig where I got paid. So I just parked it in a truck stop and literally spent 4 days. I'd go into the trucker's lounge. It was during the NBA playoffs one spring. I remember sitting there watching the NBA playoffs with a bunch of racist truckers making racist remarks at the – I'm like, well, if you're not a fan of black folks, what are you doing watching NBA basketball? Because, you know –
I love the athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, why are you choosing to watch this if you're just going to gripe and make racial slurs? But, yeah, that was a hoot.
That has to be a weird thing. Like, listen, I'm racist, but I love basketball, and they're the best ones at it. So yeah. I'm real confused right now.
I got mixed feelings. Well, that's cool, buddy. Well, welcome back, man.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I got to give a shout out. We got some dope hats.
Oh, man, very cool hats.
Okay, I got the name for that. Dope Embroidered Boogie. I was at a show. That was okay. That happened on the Thursday night. I was at a bar called – I went to a bar called Crescent Ballroom.
Uh-huh.
Because there was another comedy show there that Paul and Chris were on. But, like, just, like, the attitude of, like, what I would expect here in L.A., like, getting, like – you're at a bar, and okay, it's not like five people deep. It's only one person deep at the bar, and I'm leaning there, kind of looking at the guy, like, all right, you see me. And a bartender would kind of have a basic idea of who's next, who got served next, and this and that. And so it's not swamped busy, but it's busy. The guy turns around, he's like, all right, who's next? And he starts looking at the guy next to me. The guy next to me was nice enough to point to me because he knew I was there first.
That's nice.
And he's pointing to me, and guy's like, you got to yell this out, man. And some guy at the end of the bar is like, I need three Stellas. And he just goes and helps him. I'm like,
you got to yell at that's the.
Like, you want me to scream at you? Like, no.
Or can you just use some common sense?
And then, like, yeah, you could just look. Like, as soon as I looked at him, he's like, the guy pointed at me. And he's like, you got to yell at him. And the guy's like, the three Stellas. And then I wait again, and the guy turns around and looks at me and he's like, you want to try this again? I'm like, oh.
Really?
You fucking...
You want to try this again?
You fucking turd.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know what? I already said the name of the bar, so they do a fun comedy show there. It looked like it was fun, and I don't know. Maybe this guy was having a rough night. But you see, like, a guy had a tattoo of a cardinal and a shirt with a cardinal on it, and I realize it's their football team, but
yeah.
That's like a sub-level of wearing the band shirt to the concert is wearing the shirt of the tattoo that you have.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, my shirt's got a skull. I got a skull. Skulls are fucking cool. What's your problem, bro? Like, but that summed up Phoenix for me, was a guy in a Cardinals shirt with a Cardinals tattoo getting high and mighty when he's not even that busy. Like, that's Phoenix. Oh, that was Phoenix.
You want to try this again?
And then for a short can of Budweiser and a club soda was $6.25.
Wow.
That was the price that I would bitch about that in LA. And that was the Phoenix cool bar that people like. $6.25 for a club soda and a 12. The little guys are 12s, right? Those cans?
Yeah, 12 ounce.
For a 12 ounce can of Bud and a club soda, $6.25. Wow. Still gave them the 75 cents in quarters that came with it.
I wouldn't give them shit. You know what I'd have done? I would have ordered a really, really intricate mixed drink. And then when he gave it to me, go, nah, I changed my mind and just walk off.
You know what? I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. No, I don't think I am. I don't think I am ready to try it again.
But it's like, you know, you try like, all right, let's try that. Be calm. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes, but like already a dick. And then follow it up with like, you want to try this again and charging me that much money for a can of beer. I'm like, okay, Phoenix, that was Thursday night. Let's see how the rest of this weekend goes. But the shows were fun. And with that bar is where some guy came up. He's like, hey, man, I work. There was some nice people there, some Boogie Monster fans. There was an awkward kid there who was nice and said, like, he's like, I emailed you, like, years ago to start comedy when I was 17. And I do comedy now. And he was, like, an awkward dude, which I was like, oh, good for you. But also, if I'm talking to somebody, don't just stand behind me and tap on my back with your whole hand.
Oh.
A whole hand tap. Ah. Several times. And I'm like, all right, man, what's up, buddy?
Ugh.
And anyway, so where did I go find the... Oh, God. Damn it, tell me I didn't lose it. I'll find it. I'll find it from this guy. I don't want to... Andrew LZ gave us the Boogie Monster hats.
Was he the awkward guy?
No. He was a hat guy. Awkward guy was the awkward guy. But then also, that's another thing, too. Like, comedy's that weird thing that just catches a lot of screwy people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, I want to communicate. Well, you could write things down, but then you don't really get the sense that somebody's listening to you when you just write it down.
Yeah.
And, well, poetry's a weird thing because then people are just staring at you anyway. At least if people laugh at it, they kind of accept it. And it catches a lot of weird people. Do we need to talk about Louis C.K. jerking off in front of ladies? Or can we just be like, yeah, it was terrible, but I don't like – the only thing I don't like is like the everybody – protecting him, like we don't all know each other.
Yeah, who's protecting him?
He's fucking famous.
Yeah, he's as big as you could get or could get.
Yeah,
like the distance between he and I is so great. I've never even been in the same room as a guy.
Yeah, it's like asking somebody at karaoke, like, how come you didn't say anything when you knew Chris Brown was a wife beater? It's like, because I don't know the fucking guy. I just sing songs here.
Yeah.
Then so that's where it's like this whole like he's been well I get but you know what if you're talking about the higher like people that did know him protecting him all right maybe that's true people like had heard the rumors like same thing with the Harvey Weinstein
yeah
whatever do it I mean everything that is said
I'm sure everything's already been said
all right,
like then. I don't have a hot take on it other than I'm sorry and it wasn't me
yeah well and it's like if there was only 20 comedians, then I think another 2 cents would be valuable.
Yeah.
But everybody's a fucking comedian. A
lot of hot takes.
A lot of hot takes.
A lot of people – I have been seeing this, though, too. I've been seeing – and not to shit on it, but I've even seen like guys coming forth and be like, I was sexually harassed by – you know. And I'm not shitting on it, but it's like, all right, way to make – a big thing about you know.
Well, it's
it needs more context.
It's well, you know, it's finally like, all right, people are coming forward, and this is something that you've been harboring, and you can come forward with it now too. That maybe you've been ashamed of or embarrassed about, and I understand that. But unfortunately, I always have that little bit of cynicism. I always have some cynicism, which I wish I could shake. Which is always like, oh man, how many like people see them fucking retweets, those numbers, and like, oh, and let me put mine in there. Not about people, but like the hot take thing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we say is going to be wrong,
yeah.
Unless it's he was bad, and it's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I agree with, but also. Wait, I mean, what are we going to do? Dissect it more? It's out. Don't worry. I think. At least 47% of all comedians wrote an article in the last week. So it's just pick one of those you like, and I agree with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus it's just no shit. No shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Like, just this, I don't know. And I guess maybe people do need to be taught, but like just this tutorial of how wrong. Yeah, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never masturbated in front of anybody. I've never sexually harassed anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, but just this, all right, guys, we need, you know, all right, here's a trend that's really starting to annoy me with some of these blogs. And we need, they're always titled, we need to talk about blank. Have you noticed these? We need to talk about so-and-so's behavior. We need to, like, it's just so condescending. Like, yeah, no shit. Like,
I saw one tweet from there's a comic I didn't know, but it was like, I would ruin your favorite comedians if I told you how many guys I had to reject. And it was just this, the way it was worded, it was like this tantalizing, like, now don't you want to know? Ask me who. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of these like, ask me who things. Like, fuck you. Now you're taking this, you're taking a real thing and you're poisoning it with that shitty attitude. No, I would ruin your favorite male comedians if I started naming names. Like, that's like some Hollywood madam shit all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, get fuck off. That's not the type of attitude. Like, that seems like almost like a bragging attitude as opposed to like a, yeah, there's scumbags out there and they were really creepy to me. It's like, I'm going to ruin what you love.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, anything, something that gets this big. And I mean, hey, what a great distraction from everything else that's terrible in the world. I know. I was just like, I just love like Louis C.K. is done. Fucking no, he's not.
No.
Not that I'm saying I want him to not be done. But no, Chris Brown is still a multi-million dollar recording artist. Fucking Mike Tyson has a fucking cartoon. He raped somebody. Chris Brown beat the shit out of somebody.
Convicted of rape.
And I've had people being like, well, he went to prison and paid his debt to society. It's like...
Yeah, and that's fine, but how about we not roll out the red carpet for him when he gets out?
Okay, yeah. Continue reading Bukowski after watching him... kick his fucking girlfriend on video. Find that. I love all the people. It's disgusting. Yeah, keep reading your book. Keep idolizing Bukowski, who is just a piece of shit human being. Mm-hmm. You know, and then other people was like, well, Pee Wee Herman. So I was like, man, Pee Wee was jerking off in an adult theater.
Yeah.
That's what you do there.
Yeah. Who do you hurt?
That's what happens there. That you fucking leave Pee Wee out of this.
Oh, man. Well, good times, buddy. Went to the Rose Bowl flea market yesterday. Is that like the largest flea market in America? I think I heard that somewhere. And I believe it. There had to be, I'm not exaggerating, there had to be 5,000 vendors.
Well, it's at a football stadium.
Yeah. It was insane. It was crazy. Mm. I was there about 2.5 hours, probably saw 40% of the stuff.
Get any collector's items?
No, I didn't.
Spoons from states that you can collect?
No, I bought some popcorn. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I did make this observation. As a guy who loves flea markets, I just love the concept of a flea market. I like any non-taxable goods.
Seeing somebody trying to sell you their shit.
But I've always gone to flea markets, and in the South they're really big. Like I used to go to flea markets all the time in the South. But I think this is the first time I've ever been to a flea market. Ironically, it was the largest flea market I've ever been to, where I saw no Rebel flag memorabilia. Yeah. In the South, it's just every fifth or sixth booth there's going to be a Rebel flag pillow or a Rebel flag belt buckle or a wallet. None. 5,000 booths, not one Rebel flag. That was refreshing.
It's just kind of like a lawless market, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I only went to one once. I went to the Fairfax one. And it was like you could see some people had it curated, but then the guy that I knew there was, yeah, come on down. I went and it was just stuff he didn't want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is your garbage. This is a stack of wet books. Like you do this every weekend, you load up your car with a stack of wet books and one shitty jean jacket and just push that shit into a parking lot like, who wants it? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody wants it.
Yeah, it is crazy the range in merchandise mm-hmm. and vendors because you'll see some people, like the one yesterday, like some of the stuff was like really nice. You could tell. Like there'd be one guy who had like paintings, like that he painted.
Yeah.
He'd set up 10, 15 paintings, and they were all pretty pricey. Mm-hmm. Another guy would have homemade leather goods and whatever. And the guys with the nice merch had like a nice tent and nice setup, nice table, nice display.
Pro approach.
Then there's right next to him is a guy with like a blue tarp on the ground with a bunch of rusty tools and wet magazines.
Yeah. Do I buy this coffee maker that doesn't have a pot and you can't get the pot anymore? But maybe you could just put something under there to catch the coffee for yourself. $20.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was quite a spectacle. Second Sunday of every month over there at the Pasadena Rose Bowl.
Big shout out to the Rose Bowl Flea Market.
I think I'm going to go try to sell chili there next month.
What kind of hot water can you get into just selling like unregulated food items?
Well, I mean, they had a few food vendors there. They had like this little food court that was really...
But if you're just next to Wet Magazines guy, I mean, like just you sitting there in a lawn chair with a crock pot, like, hey, take a chance.
I mean, if the people who run the flea market will let me do it, you know. But there, like I said, they had a food court that was really, you know, well organized. Yeah. And but then they had just randomly, like next to the quilt lady, there was a guy selling like hot roasted pecans, and then there was a guy selling popcorn and cotton candy. So I'm going to see if I can just set up a table and sell some chili.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. Because it's also like that's an open item. That's an open air item. Chili, like, you know, pecans.
Yeah.
That was like, like Rachel's like deathly allergic to nuts. Uh-huh. And then, I'll do a fun walkthrough. Like, we'll be in Chicago. Walk through the city. Look at them. Ah, they're roasting chestnuts. She's like, oh, no. And like, it's a death trap on every corner for her.
Oh, no.
Like, walking through with her hand over her mouth. That's fine. I told you by the time we went to Gus's, I went to Gus's with her, and she's like, oh, I'm like, I'm just really excited to give her Gus's. She's like, oh, this is all cooked in peanut oil. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. And she's like, you know what? Fuck it. And just went for it. I'm like, where's the EpiPen? Put the EpiPen on the table where I can see it and show me what to do with it before you do this evil Knievel shit in front of me. And she was fine. You can have she could have the peanut oil, not the peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for people who've got allergies like that because, oh, man, I got nothing. Nothing slows me down.
Everybody's like, oh, like that's the old comedian turning into libertarian pundit is like, oh, one person's allergic to peanuts on the plane. Now I can't have peanuts.
Yeah.
Did you really like the peanuts more than the person could die from them? Like, is that the one forbidden flavor that the only time you can have peanuts is on an airplane and you can have six of them and like, everybody's a fucking pussy. Well, hey, when you're young, you're just called a spaz. Now they got to call it autism. It's like, yeah, yes. We learn things.
Yeah.
We learn things and evolve as human beings, you fucking retard.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Take heat for using that word. But I think we can evolve beyond the point of realizing that that word doesn't mean anything anymore.
I got outside my comfort zone and watched a movie.
I want to guess what outside your – let me guess what Sleep on the Sidewalk Dave's – how you pushed your boundaries in your comfort zone. What'd you wait 8 days to empty your piss buckets? Jesus Christ. Why am I going after you? I like you. I don't know why I got upset all of a sudden.
That's okay, buddy. I watched a movie that I didn't think I would enjoy because, you know, now I've got a girlfriend now.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, this lone wolf is...
Does she ever hang out in the van with you? Does she ever like...
Oh man, that's funny.
There's no nights over at your place.
No,
that's Patreon. It's Boogie Monster on Patreon. $4 a month for this fucking Jesus Christ. You're the face. If that Arms of an Angel song had to be played for people, you're the face of it. it'd be the chihuahua with the goopy eye, the cat with a bunch of flies in its ears, and then you trying to get the meat off of one last chicken wing that you found.
It's in the van shivering.
Yeah.
My hair's sticking straight up.
Does she get to have a sticker on her car that says, who rescued who? And it's just a picture of you like, hey, it's me, Dave.
Oh, God.
I haven't busted your balls about the van for a while.
I love it, dude. Bust away. No, I'm aware of what I've been getting into with all this, you know?
I know. I'm just coming off a week of road gigs. I got, you know, I'm wound full of zingers.
Oh, man. I watched, so now they got the lady. You know, it's not just, it's just not freewheeling, fun loving Dave. You know, now I got to compromise.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I gotta,
what it's about.
Can't just watch, you know, old wrestling videos and Bigfoot stuff. I gotta watch like real movies.
Yeah, change it up.
And, I didn't think I would enjoy this movie.
All right.
Turned out it was very entertaining. I watched Girls Trip.
Oh.
Big budget comedy Girls Trip with Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish. Is that how you pronounce it? The lady who did SNL. She's funny as shit.
Yeah, she's great.
So funny. I haven't seen her Showtime special yet, but I'm going to check that out. But the lady, my girlfriend, got kind of I don't want to say stereotypical taste, but like she's a target demo for a lot of the female driven stuff, the movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I know you don't want to, you're not going to like this, but let's. And I was like, all right, well, and to her credit, you know, sometimes we hang out like on a Saturday or Sunday over at her place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm sitting there watching football all day. She's a good sport about it. So I was like, all right, I'll watch a stupid.
It's still a comedy.
Stupid rom-com.
It's still part of like, it's not, yeah. You didn't.
It's not like
she made you watch The Notebook or anything.
That's true. Solid movie. It's good. Yeah. Good romp. Good funny romp.
I thought that some of the gags in the trailer were like pretty cheap.
I mean,
but I could tell
a lot of that stuff.
Queen Latifah is always funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tiffany Haddish is like skyrocketing right now and well deserved.
I see why.
Yeah,
you know what she reminded me of? She's the female version of Chris Tucker in Friday. She was that level of comic relief, yeah. Of like, holy shit, she stole every scene.
But she
could
deliver on stand-up, too. She could deliver a stand-up story.
Yeah, she can read, too.
Can Chris Tucker not read?
There's rumors that he's functionally illiterate. But I'm serious.
It's funny.
I know people who got first-hand experience.
Oh,
yeah, poor Chris Tucker.
Are we making fun of him?
He can't read.
He's still got millions of dollars.
Yeah,
right?
Ha ha! What a loser. but man, she stole that movie, Tiffany Haddish. And solid, funny movie. It just reminded me of like, all right, just broaden your horizons a little bit. Like I'm very well, just because movies now, most of them just suck. Even comedies, like big budget comedies, are awful.
Watch Lego Batman.
You know, should I watch that one?
Watch Lego Batman.
Okay. I've had more than one person tell me that.
Good times. Did you like the Lego movie?
I didn't see it.
Watch that one too.
I want to watch a movie about Legos.
I know, but it's a good. It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't enjoyed a big budget comedy since The House.
Oh God.
That was not bad. You were really good in that. It wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah, that
could have been better.
20 seconds to shine.
No, you had several scenes. You had four or five good scenes.
Having been in it, there was some complicated. I'm not saying it's bad either because I was like, oh, thanks for giving me a job, you guys.
Of course.
But yeah, there was some clumsy moments.
But I can't think of a good big budget comedy that I've enjoyed since probably Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Did you ever see that? With
I did see
John
that.
C. Reilly.
I didn't laugh at that as much as I thought I was going to laugh. I think big budget comedies where I was like, I think it's just because you said Girls Trip, like Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
That was just I don't know. I don't watch.
Yeah, I don't watch.
Every time I'm on the road, I'm like, I can go to the movies. I'm like, I don't care.
There is a new movie out I do want to see. First time in a while, I've actually been interested to go to the theater.
Scary movie?
The one with Frances McDormand, the new one, Three Billboards or something like that.
Oh, and it's supposed to be heavy.
Woody
is that
Harrelson.
A heavy movie?
I think it's supposed to be kind of a dark comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then, I don't know. It got a good review yesterday. I read something about it, and somebody said it's her best role since Fargo. I'll tell you real quick what I did stumble upon. If anybody has Amazon, this was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen on a streaming service.
Yeah.
I was watching some old Curb. Some Curb Your Enthusiasm, which you still haven't seen, which blows my mind. You owe it to yourself to check some of that out.
Okay.
But if anybody has Amazon, search
– I don't know.
Search The Black Larry David. I don't know if it's a show or a movie. There's a thing called The Black Larry David. And it even says right there in the description – I forgot. I'm paraphrasing, but like – Borrowing the concept from the popular HBO show Curb Your Enthusiasm, our hero, much like Larry David, finds himself in interesting predicament. And it's computer animated and very shittily done. Like ninth grade AV club
caliber. I'm going to look it
up. It up right now. Not like – I'm not talking like Pixar. I'm talking like a video game from 1984. And so the execution is terrible, and the Black Larry David. And it's not like he's like I lasted about 5 minutes. It's not like he's mimicking Larry. You know, he's not getting into arguments with people at the coffee shop. Like, it's just like watching a shitty Sims. It reminded me of The Sims, just some terrible video game of this guy just walking around and like –
It's got 1.5 stars on Amazon.
The most bizarre thing I have ever seen on television, The Black Larry David.
You know what's the real kicker is you can only watch that for free with Prime. Otherwise, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Shout out to anybody who can't get a comedy special on the air, but the computer-generated Black Larry David is out there.
Oh, boy. Really, really terrible stuff.
What I did watch on Hulu was called Dead Hands Dig Deep, and it's a like if you thought Gigi Allen was like an intense weirdo, this like Gigi Allen looks like fucking Linda Ronstadt compared to this dude.
Who is he?
This guy from a band called Basket Cadaver. I don't know. Kettle Cadaver was the name of this band. They're like Temecula. And this guy, he was like into backyard wrestling and then became a singer and like was just the most like barbed wire Jesus thorns and would like pierce his upper lip and then put like attach it to his eyelids and would just like did all this stuff. Remember that like Mark Flanagan? This is a book I was always obsessed with. This is kind of Boogie Monster us. So we're kind of getting into some weird underground shit. We'll get to it, guys.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it.
It is a Boogie Monster.
Oh, by the way, this is a Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. God damn it. I didn't say it soon enough. We probably lost them all. Nobody's listening to us. Mm-hmm. Do you remember like Mark Lanigan? Oh, yeah, we've got neighbors now.
What's going on over there?
I don't know. They sound probably like hear us yelling about
sound like a baby
shit.
Goat.
He does music stuff. Huh. And so, yeah. Right. Yeah, he's like, what do you do in that room? I'm like, oh, I don't do anything. He's like, okay, I do like music production. I'm like, okay. So we might have like a Run DMC, Aerosmith, Walk This Way scenario. Use that reference for all our 45 and over listeners. But no, so like, you remember like if you go into Tower Records, there was always like those, like that they would have the art books and then mm-hmm. there'd be like the Madonna sex book and be like, this photography's good.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like boobies. And there was always one of those, I think his name was Mark Flanagan. And he was this guy. What I remember, which is probably wrong, but like I think he was diagnosed with a certain disease, and so basically, like his way of taking the pain back and owning it was just to mutilate his body all the time. He was he was like nailing his dick into boards, and doing all this kind of shit, and that's what this guy was doing. Just staple his nutsack over his dick to make it like a weird brain thing and nail that to a board and sing. Like, he's still also singing in a band. And all this stuff that, like, this guy was creating. Now he just lives in a shack that he built in the middle of nowhere. And it's like his wife was in the band Christian Death and kind of dated Richard Ramirez for a while.
Wow.
And she left, so he just has a handmade wooden sculpture of her that he sleeps with. And just him saying, like, yeah, well, you know, people think I'm crazy, you know, but I like, my dog died and I love my dog. So, you know, I was kind of just like slept with him in the bed for like 4 or 5 days after he died, like slept with his dead dog. Like, the guy probably killed somebody. Like, he alludes to it where he's like homeless and on meth and like living in these drainage tunnels. And the documentary came out last year, and I guess the guy committed suicide this year.
Wow.
But it's, I mean, if you like dark, weird, like, oh, this is a, you're watching, this is madness. This is just an insane man that is still communicating with documentary filmmakers. It's called Dead Hands Dig Deep.
Wow.
And it's intense. Like,
Hulu?
What's that?
Hulu.
Yeah, it was something like, I'm like, I got to go to bed. It's like 1 a.m. I'm like, oh, I'm clicking through. I'm like, let me just see what this is. I'm like, oh, I'm watching this whole thing right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of creepy to know that that's, you know, what you would wonder about a homeless person that's just screaming on and saying mumbling crazy stuff. Like, that's what this guy's doing. But he still lives in a shack and has all these homemade weapons in it. And apparently, like, oh, I guess he was making his money by, like people are into like BDSM, but like real heavy shit. Like, he would just torture them for money. That was one of the rumors.
And where did he live? What city?
Temecula.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. That's in California?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's south. Like, I don't know, but I'm not sure. But and just like, I was trying to find more information about him, and I couldn't really find anything online about the band or about the guy, and it was just, I don't think it's fake because they got, you know, it's not fake. They've got footage of the guy when he was younger doing the backyard wrestling thing and interviewing his mom and his brother and his bandmates. And it was intense.
Wow.
It was an intense look at someone on the fringes of society, which, if we'd like to get to the continuing topic.
Nice segue.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I pulled that one out of my ass. I'm like, oh, it's weaving right into it. Let's return to how Fred Schneider of the B-52s killed two aliens.
Bang, bang. Watch out for the bikini wear. Oh, God. Can't get enough Fred Schneider. Love him. Man, I tell you what, real quick. Speaking of the B-52s, they never got enough credit for fucking rocking. That first album, the yellow one, listen to, and that's a pop, that was one of the big hits, but even Rock Lobster, there's like a little breakdown kind of in the middle of that song where it's just that guitar, just like they rock.
Yeah.
Just kind of that surf guitar type stuff. Like, man. And I don't know how you can keep from dancing when that song comes on. But, oh, man, B-52s freaking rock. Phil Schneider is who you meant to say.
Oh, whoops.
And just to kind of recap from last week, Phil Schneider, he's a civilian contractor. He's working for the federal government for 17 years as an engineer and a geologist. He did all kind of crazy stuff, worked on all kind of stuff. But in 1979, he was working on a new addition to an underground base at Dulce Air Force Base in Dulce, New Mexico. I still don't know if Dulce is the name of the base, but it's in Dulce, New Mexico. And they're drilling these holes. They're going way down under the ground, a mile or two, having some malfunctions with some of the equipment. He goes down to check it out, sees two or three. I'm still not clear if it's two or three aliens, 7 foot tall gray aliens. He kind of panics, pulls out his gun, boom, pops two of them in the head, kills them. Either one of them that he shot or a third one shot back some blue laser beam, split him open, blew two or three of his fingers off his left hand. Even given the speech that I'm about to allude to, you can see that he's missing a couple digits on his left hand. Anyway, fast forward to 95. He's giving a speech at the Preparedness Expo, and he's talking about all kind of crazy stuff, deep underground military bases, and yeah, so and he tells that story right there in this speech that, you know, he shot and killed a couple aliens. He said that he believed the gray aliens had been living and working in that area underground at Dulce, New Mexico for 400 to 500 years. He said the incident that I just talked about sparked a several-hour battle between the grays and some Green Berets that were working there on the base. A total of 66 people died from that firefight. And see, try looking that shit up online. There's no information really anywhere about this 66 soldiers that got killed by these aliens back in 79.
Well, maybe because it's not true. I just found a pretty crazy Phil Schneider article.
So goes on to say, towards the end of this speech, he says real casually, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but he says real casually, talking about how you know, he's in danger from talking about this stuff in public. He says there's been attempts on his life. He's been shot at. He's been run off the road. Then he just says real casually, I shot a federal agent, shot him dead 16 days ago. He shot and killed a federal agent 16 days ago when he was giving this speech. So anyway, that's who old Phil Schneider is. And he even told people, he's like, yeah, they're trying to kill me. Well, so this is September of 95 that he gives his speech at the Preparedness Expo. Cut to January 17th, 1996, after Phil's landlord called the police to say he hasn't seen Phil in a few weeks. Portland, Oregon police show up to Phil's apartment. There's a bunch of newspapers and stuff stacked up in front of the door. It looks like no one's been there for a few weeks. They make entry into the apartment. The police report states that the investigating officer immediately smells decaying flesh, and oh boy, that's something you don't forget. But
okay, side note.
But they entered his apartment. They found Phil face down in his wheelchair. So like his wheelchair was sitting next to his bed, And he was on the floor, like where his knees would be on the floor, and his face and chest were down into the seat of his wheelchair with a catheter tube wrapped around his neck, like a plastic he had some disabilities and stuff. I guess he had to use a catheter. But so they found a catheter tube wrapped around – about a 12-inch catheter tube wrapped around his neck a few times. They just – very, very little investigation, labeled it a suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, the police report, the investigating officer listed the cause of Phil's death as natural causes, yet – okay, yeah. So initially they labeled it as natural causes, and then 2 days later the coroner called the police to notify him. So he's back at the funeral home now. 2 days later the coroner's like, hey guys, I found this catheter tube wrapped around his throat. But the investigating officer called it natural causes. So how is it natural causes if the guy's got a tube wrapped around his throat and he's laying face down in his wheelchair? So there's a lot of speculation. And then there's this whole thing about some people didn't want to show up. I don't know if it was the coroner or somebody was notified. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to show up. And just a lot of standard procedures were not followed in this case. And the cause of death went from natural causes back to suicide. So yeah, just really, really peculiar investigation there, which some conspiracy theorists think that, you know, maybe the higher ups either in the police department or somewhere in the state government was maybe had an influence on, hey, regardless of what you find, let's go ahead and label this one natural causes so there's no further investigation. So it is weird that he was constantly talking about how his life was in danger, and sure enough, just 2 or 3 months after that big speech, boom, he's got a tube wrapped around his throat and he's dead.
Well, all right, I'm reading some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a wacko that cut off his own fingers.
Okay. Well, he did one of his areas of expertise was explosives. So that's interesting that he also has, you know, he toys around with explosives, but he also has a couple of digits missing.
Yeah, well, then you're not an expert. the stuff that I'm reading here, like I'm looking up, like I was at, it's like, oh yeah, he was on supplemental security income, mm-hmm. which means it's like a disability income, and he was at a psychological disorder of self-inflicting and self-mutilation, mental instability, and delusive illness.
What's delusive illness?
I don't know. It's just,
delusion?
It's kind of, oh, yeah. I think, I mean, if you legit killed federal agents,
mm-hmm.
do you just say that a week later or 2 weeks later?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Oh, I murdered people. Mm-hmm. They're probably out to get me. Anyway, gather around, everybody, at this place that at a specific time and date I'll be speaking. And come out again. Come out next week while I'll be here at this time and date.
Yeah.
To hear me openly confess to murder in public.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's or you know what it is? It's like a nice distraction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know what? If we get, because all the stuff that I'm reading, it's mostly this one guy, Norio Hayakawa.
What's that?
Norio Hayakawa is the guy doing this expose. He's the only one I'm finding that's going after the guy.
Going after Phil?
Yeah, to discredit him.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems like a self-taught geologist, and I mean, you watch the video, he does seem like a. He seems a little sketchy.
He does seem a little out there, but at the same time, it's not so far out there. Like some of the stuff he's talking about, either he's telling the truth or he's a real good bullshitter. You know, he's definitely relaying some of these stories with the confidence of the truth.
I mean, Dulce Bay still seems like it'd be sketchy as fuck, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the other stuff he was talking about in some of his speeches, like the last year of his life is when he really, I guess, decided to kind of go on tour and start talking about this stuff. But some other stuff he mentioned, the American government concluded a treaty with gray aliens in 1954 called the Grenada Treaty, mm-hmm. Where, like, I don't know all the details of it, but the way somebody paraphrased it was like they made a treaty with the aliens of like, hey, we'll keep your involvement with our government a secret, and in exchange you can abduct a few people a year and use them for experiments.
All right, to say that there would be an agreement, that's meaning that we have equal power over each other. That's the only reason the world works with arms races. Like, I have the same shit you have.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the upper hand, which is all the excuses for spending on all this defense.
Yeah.
So that means that there's aliens, but we can still kick their ass in one way, and they can kick our ass in a different way. So we got to be like, all right, even Steven aliens. That.
Yeah. He also said the space shuttle.
This is the thing I want to believe in the most is aliens.
Yeah, me too.
And the stuff that comes out, I'm like, God damn it, no.
He said the space shuttle's been shuttling in special metals for years. He said a vacuum atmosphere is needed for the rendering of these special alloys, thus the push for a large space station. He says much of our stealth aircraft technology was developed by back engineering crashed ET craft. And he also goes on to say that AIDS was a population control virus invented by the National Ordnance Laboratory in Chicago.
That's what's hilarious. My sister's coworker was talking about that. Like, population, like, why do they think it was just like affected gay people the most? Because you're not controlling the population if you're just killing gay people.
That's true. I mean, if anything, gay people
kill the people that can reproduce.
Yeah, gay people promote.
Yes.
Population.
You want population control, you should be pro-gay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if there's like that kind of fringe lunatic at the gay pride parade. Like, oh, you support LGBT rights? No, population control. You fuckers ain't have no kids. Right on.
Oh, man. Get this. He also goes on to talk about – this is insane. I've never heard anything about this, and this could be a whole nother topic, a whole nother episode. But he said, unbeknownst to just about everyone, our government has an earthquake device. He says the Kobe – I don't know where that was. The Kobe quake had no pulse wave, and also the 89 San Francisco quake had no pulse wave. Now, I don't know what that means. Stole that from your bit. Now, I don't know what that means.
I'm looking – there is a lot of stuff. Is homosexuality nature's population control? There's a lot of stuff – coming in. This is probably something we'll start talking about and then have ideas and be like, uh-oh, we said something wrong. But
but think about that. The government has an earthquake device? I guess he's basically implying that the government caused those earthquakes?
They had that in Ocean's 13.
Really? I never saw any of those movies.
They had an earthquake device.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
or
insane.
Maybe it was an electromagnet. Like, what was it? Yeah, what's the thing it's supposed to have to be an earthquake? I mean, like they say fracking's causing earthquakes. An earthquake device, can't it just be take a nuclear missile and drill a hole 2 miles deep?
Shoot it down in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think that would cause something.
You know, that I mean, I feel like of all the natural disasters that you could create by man or by person.
Mm-hmm.
I would think earthquake. I mean, how are you going to whip up a hurricane or a tornado?
Yeah.
But earthquake, you just like, root around there, stir up some shit down there.
Root around?
Yeah, you just get down there rooting around.
Oh, man.
Throwing M80s in a well, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I think this Phil Schneider guy was just a crazy person. I don't think a guy's like, yeah, I shot two aliens, and anyway, I'm here. Again, I feel like if that was true, he wouldn't be out talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government's probably happy he's out talking about it because, like, ooh, people believe this dingnut.
Well, it could be a little bit of both. It could be telling truth, and it could be a little wacky.
Yeah, I don't think so. But you have stories about other people. Like, I do believe that there probably has been people that have been shut up by the government when stuff's coming out. But particular case of Phil Schneider, there's one video of him saying, I killed aliens. And then there's no, and he died suspiciously. But it's not suspicious. Mm-hmm. There's a crazy guy going, I shot two aliens, and he cut off his own hand, and then he choked himself. Like, that's not, like, okay, he's found, like, face first. Like, that means, was the wheelchair next to the bed? Was he sitting on the bed, choked himself, and then fell off when he died into his wheelchair?
I don't know. But there's definitely some suspicious procedures in the investigation of his death.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of leads us into kind of a nice segue. Just the overall concept of ufologists meeting untimely deaths. There's been dozens and dozens in the last, let's say, 30 or 40 years, examples of ufologists or people who really investigate and try to reveal some info about UFOs dying.
How could,
like, weird, suspicious deaths?
How is it? Why is it ufologists?
I don't know.
You don't call them UFOs.
Mm-mm. I think just the way it's spelled. Just, but yeah,
I'm putting that one out there. That's my hot take. You can't call them ufologist. UFO's not a word. It's an anagram. Ant shit. Antlet. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading from our buddies over at ParanoiaMagazine.com. Shout out to Paranoia Magazine. They sent us some cool stuff. They sent us some shirts and some cool mags. But according to their site, they've got a kind of a brief rundown of some other people who have suspected to maybe been shut up and killed by somebody regarding their talking about these UFOs. A guy named Ron Rummel. He was an ex-Air Force intelligence agent and a publisher of the Alien Digest. Back in 93, Rummel allegedly shot himself in the mouth with a pistol. Ugh, shot himself in the mouth. Friends say, however, that no blood was found on the pistol barrel, and the handle of the weapon was free of fingerprints.
Wasn't this Phil's buddy?
I believe they were colleagues. Also, according to information now circulating, the suicide note left by the deceased was written by a left-handed person. Rummel was right-handed, and perspiration on the body smelled like sodium pentothal, or so it's alleged. Now, I don't know what sodium pentothal is.
Isn't that
is supposed to do? But it sounds suspicious.
It ain't no salad seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Sodium. I'm looking it up. I'm doing research, mm-hmm. Dave. I'm pulling my weight. Sodium pentothal is a barbiturate anesthetic. Sodium thiopentosol, also known as sodium pentothal, thiopentone, or trapanol, is a rapid onset, short acting barbiturate general anesthetic that is analog of thiobarbital. Fucking, there you go. Oh, it's truth serum. You could have said that earlier, Wikipedia. Do you think truth serum works?
I don't know. Like in Liar Liar?
I always think about that Chappelle bit, like Wonder Woman's lasso.
Oh, yeah.
To tell the truth. Damn, you got big titties.
Another guy, Ron Johnson.
That's, I love his surf shops.
Ron Johnson. he was MUFON's deputy director of investigations.
Ron John MUFON.
Johnson was 43 years old, seemingly in excellent health. He had just passed a recent physical examination with the flying colors. However, June 9, 1994, while attending a Society of Scientific Exploration meeting in Austin, Texas, Johnson died quickly and amid very strange circumstances. During this conference, there was a slideshow. They turned the lights off. Everybody's watching this slideshow. Several people sitting next to Johnson heard him gasp. The lights turned back on. Johnson was slumped over in his chair, his face purple, blood oozing from his nose. A soda can from which he had been sipping was sitting on the chair next to him. Did he die of a stroke, allergic reaction, or something else?
Okay, that's a little weird.
That's weird. All kind of crazy deaths. There's one lady, Carla Turner. I was reading about her the other day. She died very suspiciously. There's some videos of her out there talking about this stuff as well.
I'm still reading more about Phil Schneider, like his dad, like saying his dad was like, they were upset saying his dad worked for like, was a German U-boat captain.
Yeah, we talked about that. He was in the Navy under Hitler's Navy.
Yeah, but then he's like, no.
And then he was apparently part of the Philadelphia experiment.
I guess they're like upset that he wasn't at all that. He was born in Oregon.
Oh, his dad was born in Oregon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. There's so much other stuff of people like, no, this isn't like, there's a lot of debunking on old Phil Schneider.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I want to find out. I want to look at more population control. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that concept.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst. I mean, there's too many people. I'll say that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not going to start weighing in on which way we should handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But more people ain't helping anything.
No. Well, we need to do an episode on Agenda 21.
Oh.
Can I tell you about that?
Is that better than Agenda 20?
Mm-hmm. A little bit better. But yeah, that's just the overall concept that, well, Agenda 21 was a thing. I think back in the early 90s, they had this huge environmental conference down in somewhere in Brazil. And it was under the guise of like trying to revamp environmental regulations. Mm-hmm. But if you read closely in this multi-page document that is Agenda 21, one could possibly decipher it as population control techniques.
Yeah.
And
through like environmental.
Yeah, through all kinds of different, yeah, I mean, whether it be vaccines, all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's dozens of ways that some conspiracy theorists think that the government are trying to kill us, whether it be vaccines, even starting wars, fluoride in the water. It's just all kind of different crazy.
Somebody wrote in who was like writing in a lot of stuff and then got pissed that we didn't respond on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Said that fluoride calcifies the pituitary gland,
mm,
which is believed to be your mind's eye. Yeah.
Yeah. So it calcifies it, meaning what would that do to
just,
it?
Just, I guess, rendering it useless.
Okay.
Like, I know what the fucking pituitary gland does.
Well, yeah, we talked about that with that's what they were doing in the Montauk Project. When they would extract the juice from the pineal gland.
Pineal gland, yeah.
Yeah, where they'd get these, you know, they beat up these kids almost to near death to get their adrenaline up. Mm. And then right before they kill them, they would extract from that pineal gland. And what do they call the stuff that they would extract? I forgot what we said that was. But
is that the adrenochrome?
Yes, adrenochrome.
I only know that from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Remember there's like it's like the pure adrenaline. He takes that through the eyedropper and goes real batshit. And it was, yeah, it was like the doing all the drugs and that was something. Yeah. I don't even know if that's a real drug you can do. But that's okay. That's an interesting one, lady who got pissed at us a few months ago for not responding to your 20 Facebook messages.
Yeah, sorry.
I
try to respond, but like
you're better at it than I am.
But when you send 20 messages in a row,
there was a lot. Like, how about it? What's up? I'm like, all right. I'm already like, this is the most I'm on my computer is sitting right here. that's okay. I want to look into that one. I'm gonna my way in is Phil Schneider was a fucking ding dong that cut off his own hand and then told people he killed aliens and then killed himself. And I know they say his wife, but I'm also going off just as much information that, or less information than you found.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one guy just blowing it up, but saying that his, like, oh yeah, his friend was in the Air Force. And then this article's like, he was not in an Air Force. We don't know he's in the Air Force. They had like a zine. Ron and Phil had a zine called the Alien Digest. It does. It's a pamphlet.
I know. I just always associate zines with like punk rock.
That's what this looks like. It's a folded over thing called the Alien Digest, center stapled.
You mail in a self-addressed stamped envelope, you get a patch.
Yeah. This is no, yeah, this Norio Hayakawa is saying, like, there's proof in the math of it, like Phil's age at the time of his death, or Phil's age and time of it on the various jobs he claimed to do, and certainly consider the time at college for his degrees, which never existed. He would have been 17 year old when he went to work for the government. Mm-hmm. He said he stated that he worked in Dulce in 1979. He said he was one of three people. So in 1979, well, no, that's not fucking true. He's born in 47. He would have been 47 to 79.
That'd be 32.
You're good with math.
Mm-hmm.
17 years old. Oh, that he worked there in 7. I don't know. Fucking whatever. This guy sounds like a ding dong. Sorry. Yeah. So he had brittle bone syndrome. That sounds lousy.
Brittle bone syndrome.
Yeah. Brittle. That sucks. Just old cracker crust over here. I've got brittle bones. Don't push me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not buying a Phil Schneider thing. I do. I mean, I'm still got hope for aliens, but now I'm excited about our pineal glands being calcified by fluoride in the water and population control, and if the gay people are population control.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if
just to
control, but they're definitely contributing, and good for them. I mean, it's just too many damn people.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough resources, too many people. But yeah, I think we should definitely get into Agenda 21 in a week or so, because there's also another component to that, to where, and I'm just speaking out of my ass, but
I think being on an airplane with children is population control.
Oh God. Jeez. Ugh, that would suck. You ever just had to sit in the same row as a kid?
Screaming sticky beast.
They are sticky. Kids are sticky.
I've always
got purple shit all over their mouths.
They always feel like the keypad of a microwave. Like, that's what I can imagine. Like, if I having kids, is everything you own feels like the keypad of your microwave oven. Like your whole home. Like,
yeah.
Your everything. Like, I'll be in friends' cars. And it's just like Cheerios and shit.
Yeah.
Which my car's filthy too, but it's filthy with dirt because I did cool shit. Not like loose gummy bears melting into the seams of the upholstery.
Ugh.
What am I? My friends have cool kids. I'm not. What am I upset about? But yeah, I cut you off there. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was about to speak out of my ass anyway. But, yeah, Agenda 21, one of the components is where they feel like the government is encouraging people and making it so to where living in a giant urban city center is kind of the wave of the future. They're encouraging people to kind of live in giant city centers where they're no longer dependent on transportation, where you can gather a lot of people in a small geographical area. So when the switch is flipped and martial law happens and the government takes control of everybody, we're all kind of
defenses up.
We're already kind of herded in like a bunch of cattle.
I mean, we're kind of doing that to ourselves anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, man. All right. Maybe that's the next one.
Scary shit, man.
Well, sorry I pissed all over your Phil Schneider parade, Dave.
Oh, that's fine, buddy. I you know, I don't know what to think of this dude, but it is interesting. I mean, yeah, watching that speech of his, the guy's definitely got a couple of screws loose. Because did we talk about this last week? Because there's one point where he even
– that guy never even got the screws.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely
– even in the box.
He's mentioned several times the right to bear arms, so he's definitely got some right-leaning – It appears to be some right-leaning ideas. But then when he mentions...
Yeah, I always want to hear a gun supporter who doesn't have a trigger finger.
But when he was talking about Janet Reno is responsible for Waco and killing all those kids in Waco,
he goes... popular opinion like that. I don't know all the details of that, but that was something like she mishandled it.
Yeah, and she may or may not have. But I found it interesting that at one point when he starts talking about Janet Reno, he goes, and she is a confirmed lesbian.
Yeah.
We've confirmed that.
Yeah, it was a little bit of the Asperger's-y.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because she's a lesbian doesn't mean she's necessarily guilty of killing children.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
And that's not a crime, by the way. But like he said it as if, you know, she's a confirmed pedophile or she's a confirmed lesbian.
And the whole thing, like, okay, he's telling people if I ever – I will never commit suicide. If I commit suicide, it's a murder.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy who already believed he shot aliens and stuff. How is that not – it's just as realistic to him think like, uh-oh, they're going to control my mind. It won't be suicide mm-hmm. because I'm just taking myself – I'm just not going to be controlled by them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is murder, but I'm doing it because I don't – I'm not going to allow them the privilege of controlling my mind. I mean, yeah. That's like a schizophrenic way of thinking. That's like mm-hmm. a mental illness way of thinking. Like, you're not going to get me. I'll get me first before you get me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's not suicide because I'm sad or anything. It's like, no, you're not. I'll take myself out first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, all speculation, obviously, but
man, who knows? They tell you went to Hal and Ray's last week.
You didn't wait for me.
Two and a half hours.
Fuck that! What do you do for 2.5 hours?
Stand there and judge people.
Stand there and tell people about how fluoride calcifies the pineal gland. You'd probably get that line down to an hour if you just start rambling. You just start saying that, not to anybody, just to the back of the people's heads in front of you. Bill Snyder shot two aliens at Dulce, New Mexico in 1979. They're like, wow, well, let's just go to Del Taco. How was it? Great always?
The best chicken sandwich I've ever had in my life.
What day did you go?
I went last Thursday.
That was on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
Got in line around noon. I was eating at 2:30.
Fuck that, man.
But it was worth it. And I sat at the counter. And hats off to that crew. Like they're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
And everybody there is like the staff, the guys behind the counter cooking that chicken. Super nice dudes. And so I'm sitting at the counter and I'm eating. And I gobbled down my my chicken sandwich. Best fucking chicken sandwich. Oh, like, I know it sounds crazy to wait 2.5 hours.
Two of them.
Well, exactly. I ate the one, and I go, I could have knocked down a second one there, but just to not sound like such a fat ass. When I'm finishing up, the guy goes, how was everything? I mean, they're super attentive, super friendly. And I go, oh, man, it's great. I'm trying to decide if I should get a second one to go. And I made it very clear. I said, I'm trying to decide.
Yeah.
Dude just shouts out, let me get another Sando. Counter. Position three, counter.
And I'm surprised you had trepidation.
Yeah. Dude, and 3 minutes later, guy just hands me a sandwich. No check, no bill, no nothing. And I go, oh, well, dude, I wasn't quite sure. He goes, nah, it's on us. And And then 30 seconds later, another dude hands me a box with three wings. He goes, here's something else for the ride home. So they gave me a free sandwich.
Were you looking weary that day?
And they felt sorry for me.
They see you roll out of the van or something. Like, let's get this guy.
They hooked me up, dude. And that's not the first time they've done that. Me and Cookie, Brian Cook, went one time. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday and Sunday, they have chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
So their version of brunch.
Brian Cook waited in that line?
This was kind of early on when they first started. We waited about 45 minutes that day. And, of course, he griped the whole time. But it was worth it. You could tell he was pleased with his meal. But they hooked us up with a big old order of chicken and waffles. We had ordered the sandwiches or whatever. And while we're sitting there eating at the counter, dude just hands us.
Why wouldn't you just order a bunch of the sandwiches and then sell them to the people in line for a markup?
Ooh.
Yeah, you need money.
Fucking
walk out. Oh, I can't finish.
Light bulb.
They gave him a whole one. Wow. $30.
Go to the very back of the line where the guy's looking at a 2-hour wait. It's like, hey, it's $11 up there or it's $15 right here.
I could start at 20.
Dude.
Start at 20. I'd bet $20 and I could just have one right now.
There you go.
Like, if it's the best chicken sandwich in the world.
It's the best chicken sandwich in the world. No hype. It's insane how good this fucking thing is.
I'm sure Hal and Ray would tell you to go fuck yourself for doing something like that.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't make it a career move, but I could see like walking out with one and be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
$30.
But yeah, dude, I got to get you over there, man. This is what I've been doing. All right. This is what I've been doing to my dickhead friends. Twice I've made this offer to a little circle of friends. Not one fucking buddy has taken me up on it. Last two times I've gone, I'll send out a group text to three or four dudes.
I never get one.
And I go, well, you've been out of town both times. But I'll say, hey, I'm going now. I'm getting in line at noon. I'll probably be eaten by 1 or 1:30. If anybody wants to come, just show up by 1 or 1:30, and I'll hold your spot in line. And all three or four dudes, oh, I can't make it. I got to do this. Dude, I'm offering you the best chicken sandwich in the world with no wait, and nobody's taking me up on it yet. So
I'll take you up. Maybe I'll try this week.
Oh, man, it's so good. So good, dude.
2 hours, man.
Yeah, but, you know. What else you gonna be doing?
That's what that. I mean that.
And then there's always some
world order shit right there.
It is funny. Like every time I'm there, there'll be some mouth breather stagger by. And be like, what are y'all doing? Is this a line for the chicken? Like they're not like trying to get in line. They're just there at the mall doing something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had multiple people approach me. You waited in line for the chicken? Like, yeah, man. Is it really that good? No, we're just all fucking losers who have nothing else to do, which may or may not be true. But, like, of course, yes, it's obviously that good. There's 200 people. The line's 200 deep. Yeah, it's probably pretty good. But there's just always this amazement of, like, what the hell's going on over here?
All right, well, I'll get it. I'll get a piece of it.
Good stuff, dude.
All right, you got any recipes? You got anything special for the people
at home? I do, man. Thanksgiving's coming up. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Going to be back home.
Yeah?
Going to be back in Chicago. Eating a tradish.
Deb?
Pat and Deb having a tradish.
Deb cooking it up?
Yeah, Thanksgiving's at her house.
Yeah?
Yeah, old P&D hitting the burners with
That's
it.
That's nice.
I wonder if I'll get off my ass and try and contribute something.
Well, if you want.
Deb's kind of a control freak. I can't imagine trying to get in that kitchen and
if you want to some up. Today's recipe you can prepare ahead of time, a couple days in advance, and just boom, nice dessert.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if I've given this one out yet. If I have, who cares? You're getting it again. One of my favorite desserts, and I thought about this the other day. I don't eat enough pudding.
That's
setting you up right there for that one. But
yeah, I don't even know how to respond to that.
I don't. I know I look like a guy who eats plenty of pudding.
Enough.
I don't eat enough pudding. I never think about pudding.
No pudding is enough pudding.
Oh, man. I like pudding. I like a good thumb snack pack, just some good chocolate pudding, like a snack pack. I like whatever.
I'm never going to get it for myself.
Really? Well, never had.
I'm not buying like lunchbox snacks for myself. I'm not fighting you on it.
Yeah,
I'm not fighting you on it not being good.
I agree. That's why I don't eat enough because I never buy it for myself. I just never think to buy. I'm not opposed to it. It just like if I'm in the grocery store and I'm thinking of something sweet or dessert, like it never registers pudding. It's always like let's get some cookies or something. Anyway.
Yeah. I hear you.
I'm a big fan of banana pudding, and what I do, and I know this sounds weird, but I like a bananaless pudding. The bananas just get in the way. They just slow me down.
You throw some Nilla wafers on there?
Throw some Nilla wafers in there.
Nilla wafers.
Real basic, simple recipe, but damn, it's good.
Why have white people not co-opted the shortened Nilla to call each other instead of like the rap style? And we're like, look at this Nilla right here.
That's pretty funny.
Where all my Nillas at?
Nillas.
Nilla, please.
That joke has been made so many times in comedy. Like, it's ninja, not ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Like some dipshit I used to know had a joke about that. Ninja, please.
There was a guy in Chicago who was always funny. He's like, and he would hit the word, too. Like, he's like, I play a lot of pickup basketball. I'm always hearing, nigga, please. Nigga, please. You know what I don't hear once? Nigga, thank you.
That's so stupid.
I know. And as I heard that joke, I'm like, ah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Nilla, please. That works. That works better than it should.
I like it.
All these Nillas right here.
Bananaless pudding. All right.
Look at this Nilla eating bananaless pudding right here. It works so good.
Get you a thing of Cool Whip. Get you a 12-ounce thing of Cool Whip.
Cool Whip ass Nillas.
Ha ha ha! God, that's so dumb.
Go on.
12 ounces of Cool Whip, 14 ounces of sweetened condensed milk, 8 ounces of cream cheese. You want to sit that on the counter, get it room temp, get it soft. 2 cups of milk. Do that whole milk. None of this skim milk or almond milk bullshit. 5-ounce box of French vanilla pudding mix. Not the instant, just the regular pudding mix. You can use. They make a banana flavor. Jell-O makes a banana flavor. I prefer. I think it's. I don't like the artificialness of the banana flavor. So do a French vanilla pudding mix, 5-ounce box, and 1 box of vanilla wafers. Now, what you want to do is get you a 13x9x2 dish, preferably. It doesn't have to be, but that's kind of a standard glass casserole dish, 13x9, 2 inches deep. All right, so in one bowl, you're going to mix with a hand mixer, electric mixer, if you have one. You can do it with a whisk, but it's going to take a lot of elbow grease and sweat. Just invest you in a $15 electric mixer. In one bowl with a mixer, mix the milk and the pudding mix together. Whip that up real nice.
Milk and puds.
Milk and pudding mix. In another bowl, mix the cream cheese and the condensed milk. Mix that up real good together. Get that cream cheese room temp. That's easier to mix. That way it's not really cold and hard. It's going to be hard to deal with if it's right out of the fridge. So mix the cream cheese and the condensed milk together. Then in that bowl with the cream cheese and milk, condensed milk rather, fold in the Cool Whip. So now you got two bowls, one with the the milk and pudding mix, another with the cream cheese, condensed milk, and Cool Whip. Then you combine those two bowls, and in that dish, just however you want to do it, but I always start with one layer of vanilla wafers on the very bottom. Then you pour in an inch or two of the mix, add you another layer of vanilla wafers. You can do that 2, 3, 4 times. That way you've got a nice layered you don't just have them on the bottom or the top. You got them all the way through.
Vanilla
so, yeah, simple as that. And throw it in the fridge, let it kind of congeal, let it sit for a couple hours, and boom. And you can even let that sit for a day or two. If you're doing it for Thanksgiving, you can make that shit, a couple days in advance, and then boom. You got you a nice big old dish of bananaless pudding. Now, if you want to add the bananas, of course, you can do that. But make sure you get the older bananas. There's nothing worse than like a ripe green banana. I always get this confused. Is ripe, is that when they're green or when they're brown? Like, is ripe too new or too old? I always get that confused.
No, ripe is like prime.
Ripe is
like,
where it should
like,
be.
Like, boom.
Okay.
Hit it now.
We'll get it a little past prime then.
Brown.
You want it a little, not necessarily brown, but definitely not, when they're new and green because they got a weird taste. But, if you want to add in the bananas, just slice those up real thin and just kind of layer those in there with the vanilla wafers or however you want to do it. But like I said, I go with the bananaless pudding. So, again, just some Cool Whip, sweet condensed milk, cream cheese, milk, pudding mix, and vanilla wafers, and boom, simplest thing in the world. Nice dessert any time of year, but especially for Thanksgiving. Something to kind of compete with that pumpkin pie. Some people don't like pumpkin pie. I like
Who doesn't
pie.
Like pumpkin pie?
Yeah, some people don't like it. I like
Fuck
it.
Fuck them.
But or, just have them both.
Get these fake-ass Nillas out of here.
So there's your damn recipe. Anything to plug, dude?
True Nillas love pumpkin pie.
Oh boy, well, this one's gonna stick around for a while.
I'm gonna get in trouble for this. That's true though. The truest white people love pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I guess that does. It is kind of a white. That also goes in line with like the pumpkin spice. All this pumpkin spice bullshit this time of year.
True Nillas love pumpkin pie with cold ass whip on it. Cold ass whip.
Oh, God.
Fuck your Cool Whip. Cold-ass whip, Nilla.
Or if you don't want to do if you want to take it another step, don't.
You could just slap it on your ass and run around.
Don't do the Cool Whip. Make your own homemade whipped cream.
Dave, you got that recipe out there for him already.
Remember that time I made you homemade whipped cream and I forgot to put sugar in it?
Yeah, and you were very upset.
I was so disappointed in myself. I was having a big party and I made a bunch of chocolate pecan pie.
I think it was Thanksgiving.
Pie.
I think you were having Thanksgiving.
Might have been Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
a couple
was that
years
minute
ago.
Where you lived in a
yeah,
house.
That minute where I lived indoors. And I made a couple of chocolate pecan pies and I make my own homemade whipped cream. Because it's
that was
so easy.
Good meal.
All homemade whipped cream is heavy cream, a little bit of vanilla, and either regular sugar or powdered sugar. Either one works. And I had run out, And then you came, and we had a bunch of pie left, and you got your nice grip of pie. I was like, hold on, man. Yeah, you gotta have the homemade whipped cream. And you can literally make it in 30 seconds. And I made it real quick, and then you took a bite, and I could see the look on your eye. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot to put sugar in it.
Well, I was like, oh, wow, this is like a non-sweet whipped cream. I thought maybe that was like a palate thing, like enjoy the texture, like the pie's already going to be sweet.
Nope.
And then this kind of has a more of a like a plain tone to it, but it's the texture heavy. I'm like, ooh, Dave's on some next level shit. You're like, oh man, I fucked that up. I forgot to put the sugar in. I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably what would have made this work.
But yeah, if you want to take it next level, don't do the Cool Whip. Make your own homemade whipped cream. Man, I don't even have the stats in front of me now, but just get you some heavy cream, throw you a little bit of sugar in there and a little bit of vanilla, and whip that shit up real good till you get soft peaks. You want to whip it till you get soft peaks, and boom, you got homemade whipped cream. Good shit.
Yeah, girl.
Good shit, dog.
Where are you going to be at?
I don't have anything right now, but it's not too early to go ahead and plug some of this shit. I got a nice little tour coming up around Christmas next month. I'll just throw out a couple dates. I'll be in December 8th through the 23rd. I'm doing 12 cities: Lafayette, Louisiana; Houston, Texas; Little Rock, Arkansas; Huntsville, Alabama; Nashville, Tennessee; Atlanta, Georgia; Asheville, North Carolina; Richmond, Virginia; Jacksonville, North Carolina; Charlotte, North Carolina; Columbia, South Carolina. And you can find all those dates on my dumb site, dumbdavestone.com. So, just an excuse to go see the folks for Christmas.
Deep underground military base, Dave Stone.
So, yeah. In December, come see me.
Hell yeah, man. And I'm, this will come out this Tuesday. I'm in Chicago next week, but that shit sold out. Thank you.
Where you at? I missed that. I'm sorry.
I'm at, in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
At Thalia Hall on Tuesday, but I think that's sold out.
Oh, cool.
But the weekend after, I'm going to be at Comedy Works in Denver, downtown Comedy Works.
Man, that is a good club.
Yeah, one of the best spots to play.
Jeez. I've never worked there. I've done guest spots there. Mm-hmm. I did some guest spots for the Grolix Boys about a year ago, and the staff treated me like I was a damn legendary headliner.
They're a great club. They nurture like a fucking they're an example. They nurture the local comics. Mm-hmm. They don't care if the other comics are doing shows in the city also. Mm-hmm. Do your own shows. Get mm-hmm. better, and when you're good there, also please come to our club. Mm-hmm. All those guys get to run a festival. There's no friction between them and the club running a festival. They're helping them out with mm-hmm. it. I mean, I started in Chicago where Zanies was like, oh, you can't have shows on our nights and all this bullshit. You go to these cities where if there's a club and some like independent comics want to run a coffee shop show on a Friday, like, oh, you're direct competition.
Yeah.
Such stupid dog shit.
Yep.
Denver Comedy Works, perfect example of how that can work as a symbiotic relationship amongst the comics and the businesses. November 30th through December 2nd, and then December 3rd, Sunday, I'll be at the Aggie Theater in Fort Tom Collins, Colorado.
That's a good city. I've been up there a couple times. Old Fort Collins.
Old Fort Collins.
Anywhere,
all right.
Anywhere in Colorado is nice to go. Comic of the Week. Who'd you have?
I was going to say, I met this guy for the first time this weekend who I've been corresponding with. And he's not a comic. He's a musician. Mishka Shubali. And I probably sang his last name wrong because I still don't know how to say it because I didn't even ask to have myself corrected.
Shubaly.
Yeah, he's been running around with, like, the Stanhope crew and JT Haberstadt out of Austin. And just kind of tours with comics and as a guy, like...
Is it musical comedy or just straight music?
No, just straight music.
Oh, okay.
But he's a friend of the scene.
Uh-huh.
And the scene's a friend of him. And I got to meet him for the first time. Real nice dude. A storied individual. He's got a book out there. And got a few records. And just talking to the guys, you know, like he's sober now. And he's like, yeah, I just run now. I got to do something. Yeah, I went for a 19-mile run. This is recreation as a 19-mile run.
Jesus.
And then casually, for some reason, we got on piss drinking at some point in conversation. He's like, oh, yeah, I was shipwrecked once. I kind of got turned off on drinking piss after that. And I was like, all right, well, we had to go. But I'm like, man, you could just drop that into a conversation.
Wow.
The man's got some stories. He's got books and records. And go dig his stuff.
Yeah, most recent album looks like he put out in May of this year called Never Touring Again, Live in Memphis. Mm-hmm. Mishka Shubali?
That's how I'm
Shubali?
Saying it.
Shubali.
Yeah, I think it's a re-release this year of something from 10 years ago called How to Make the Bad Thing Worse.
Too. Okay.
So go check him out. Real sweet dude. I was glad I finally got to meet him in person.
Right on, man.
So
the not necessarily comic of the week, Mishka Shubali. Yeah, man. Patreon.com/BoogieMonster.
Oh,
$4 a month. You got
wrap it up. I got a piss.
Got a Q&A coming out and Dave's Kitchen every month. And also, I mentioned it before, but yeah, throw us a rating and review on iTunes. That'd be nice. I don't know how that helps us, but that's just something we're supposed to
say. It just
say.
Makes us so. Feel good mm-hmm. about ourselves.
Yep. All right. See you next time, boogers.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.